Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Combat Spotlight. I'm your host, David Bova, and I'm joined by Luke Debo.
What's up?
So man, we got, you know, a lot to talk about because the past few weeks have been nothing but chaos in the MMA world.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most recent topics that's going around on Facebook, I've noticed, is the controversial ending to the title fight that happened this weekend with Rose Namajunas against Jessica Andrade.
Mm, yeah.
People are claiming that because it was kind of a slam. And personally...
Which is legal.
Yeah.
It's legal.
I'm going to say personally it's legal, but the...
I've seen fights so many times where guys got picked up and like literally dropped right on their head, and it's like, that's part of the sport.
It's part of the sport.
Unless you're in a jits competition, yeah, of course you can't have your opponent leaving their feet, but...
That
Well, depending on what belt level you're at.
On my gym owner's Facebook post, which really garnered a lot of attention, a lot of polarizing comments, I had mentioned that in sport jiu-jitsu, it's totally fine to just hang on to a submission because it's less damaging. They can slam, but a lot of tournament, like I think it's only the Abu Dhabi Combat Club where they actually allow slams.
Yep.
I think Grappling Industries does not allow it. So...
You got to be very like careful with your double legs, like in those competitions,
because
you can easily just lift your opponent off the ground and like easily get DQ'd.
So let's give a couple of examples of fighters hitting their heads after being slammed. Ben Askren against Robbie Lawler was basically spiked on his head.
Oh, dude, he was like given the freaking the attitude adjuster with freaking John Cena gives to like everybody.
Yeah.
It was like totally a WWE move. The way he had him on his shoulders and slammed him was like, yo, that's what you see in WWE, man, not UFC.
For sure.
And you could tell it hurt Askren like big time.
Well, he seemed pretty rocked, and Lawler followed up with a lot of punches. I'm really glad that Andrade didn't put that much damage on her. They kind of ended it like immediately.
I actually got another notable mention about a situation like that where someone Gray Maynard
against Rob Emerson,
but, where he shot for the takedown and he knocked himself out.
They ruled that one a no contest.
Yeah.
But another good example though of someone winning.
I love that post fight interview. No man, I took him down. No dude, you were out. Look, the way Joe Rogan just pointed it out to him is like, no man, look, you're out cold, right? There.
Yeah. he was so out of it that he couldn't comprehend the whole situation. But another good example too is Carlos Newton was at one point a welterweight champion, and he put Matt Hughes into a submission hold.
Yep.
And Matt Hughes had slammed him and knocked him out and won the title from mm-hmm. Carlos Newton. Was it illegal then? Was it controversial then? No, it wasn't. As far as I know, because I consider myself an old school fan, but I'm not that old school, you know, I'm still relatively young. But there's other instances too, like Rampage Jackson had been caught in a triangle choke back in Pride against Ricardo Arona, and Rampage was able to knock him out cold, and people called it the knockout of the year. Why are people not calling this one knockout of the year?
Because I think it's one, it was the underdog. Like I see a lot of like post-fight like comments, like, you know, people like, oh, like Andrade was able to do this, but she's like not champion worthy, or she's not going to hold her title, that type of deal. I think it was just because of that, because, you know, everyone expected Rose to win, to like walk into Brazil and go take retain her title against Jessica.
Well, most people actually had Andrade as the favorite.
Yeah, Rose, actually closer to the fight. Yeah, I noticed a lot of money, the odds were changing.
A lot of money could have been put on Andrade for... There could be a whole bunch of factors. First of all, they're in Brazil. You're in enemy territory.
Yep.
So if it goes to the distance, you know, let's be real. There's some bias like involved in that. And I don't know. I think Rose, you gotta give her props for like taking up that challenge of going into Brazil. She's the first champion to defend her belt in foreign territory.
Yeah. She could, like I was telling people, yo, she could have like said, no, I want to do my title defense in Madison Square Garden or Staples Center, Los Angeles, exactly. Or the MGM Grand in Vegas.
Yeah. Colorado, where she's from, even, you know, it's.
Nope, she chose to go into Brazil, into enemy territory, and defend that title.
Mad props to her for that. Like, seriously. And whether she chooses to fight again or not, I respect both decisions. I truly do, because that was one hell of a slam. I will say it was legal, but any slam is dirty in itself.
You know, up until that point, I was like saying like to my friend, I'm like, man, it's not looking good for Brazil right now.
For real. Usually when they have like those like home like
those home fighters, like usually they're the ones winning and win. Making the crowd go crazy. No, this time it was Thiago Alves lost.
Ottawa did good just the other week.
Yep.
Brazil usually does good. Australia's been kicking ass lately.
Yep.
And then Brazil was like the first one that really pointed that out. Like, you know, when you stack a card with countrymen, it usually like pumps them up, you know?
And it was cool. It wasn't just like Americans. Well, two Americans versus Brazilians. It was Rose and Jake versus Silva and Andrade.
Yeah.
But the other two were cool. Alves' opponent from Argentina.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the next fight, Volkanovski's Russian.
Yeah. As much as I want to talk about it, I don't really want it because I really like Jose Aldo, but... Let's get into it. I think
actually, you can even go and say those Russians are turning out pretty crazy lately.
He's Australian.
Oh, Australia.
He's Australian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you have a point. Russians are really like breaking out onto the scene, like Islam Makhachev. Holy crap! Just a couple of weeks ago, but Jose Aldo, he looked to be in phenomenal shape. I don't know if it was just reaction time or something. It was just he was getting beaten to the punch.
I think his fighter was just that much more better than him. You know when you just watch a fight and the fighter just has a slight edge.
Yeah.
Even though you know his opponent is like top tier and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that one guy just has that slight edge over the fighter.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And I'm not saying anything against Aldo. Like I said, and like you said too, Aldo looked phenomenal like going into the fight and even just looking at him and the way he was fighting, I was like, yo, like Aldo's not doing anything wrong. It's just everything's going right for Volkanovski.
Exactly. And yeah. Aldo pretty much admitted that too. He said, I prepared the best I could, but my opponent was, you know, just a bit better than me, and that's all it takes. And that's what happens when two people enter the cage besides a draw. One man wins, one man loses.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality we have to face. But Jose Aldo, please don't hang it up. I know his whole deal was that he wanted to finish out his contract and retire. But he just knocked out two top guys before this fight. Moicano.
Yeah.
That's a prospect to look out for. He's fighting the Korean Zombie soon, which is
it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Who was the other guy he TKO'd? Moicano and Jeremy Stephens. He gave Jeremy Stephens the dirtiest, absolutely nastiest body shot I've ever seen. And it was a hook, but he had that like uppercut like at towards the end
of
it.
That slight angle to
that
it.
That slight angle to really dig inwards, like that's perfect technique.
Yeah, I remember watching that fight and seeing Stephens get hit. I was like, "Oh, I even felt my stomach like kind of turn and like
I almost chew up too.
Yeah.
That hurt my ribs. And the thing about body shots, there's a delayed reaction too. Like Jeremy Stephens, he was wincing in pain, but he didn't drop. He tried backing up and, you know, kind of recovering. But Jose Aldo has that killer instinct, that vicious mentality where he's going to finish it. You know what I also thought too? I thought Jared Cannonier did not get the respect he deserved in Brazil.
Well, no, they were mad booing him like right after, and even what he said like to the crowd after that. Like, I can't repeat what he said, but like,
he was upset.
I felt him though. Like,
dude, that's the biggest fight of his life, and he finished the fight. I know he targeted the knee, but that is totally legal. I mean, John Jones
does it all the time with his oblique kicks.
With his oblique kicks, and what was this? This was an inside leg kick too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally clean technique. I mean, like every striking class I go to, we drill inside leg kicks.
I was just the Brazilians, you know, they wanted their hometown guys to win. And
exactly.
They didn't win, so they're butt hurt.
They were hostile.
Yeah.
And we've always known that Brazilians are the most hostile crowd there are. For frick's sake, they always chant, you're going to die in Portuguese. I don't want to butcher it. You know how to say it, though.
I don't, but I hear it all the time, too. You hear it all the time when you're in Brazil.
Yeah, it's like, Vua Moe, or something like that.
Their soccer chants, or whatever they chant, yeah.
They're so like, what's the word, passionate towards their countrymen. I love it. There's only a couple countries that really like back their countrymen like that.
Their athletes.
I find the States are terrible at backing their men.
States are terrible. I'd say really close, kind of behind... Like the Brazilians, I have to say, are the English, like the people in the UK. I find they really get behind their fighters, like Darren Till or...
Yeah.
Like anybody that was like from the UK, I found like...
Liverpool was an amazing time to have Darren Till walk out. Holy crap. They were singing his song and everything too. And it's just like, back in the day, they kind of marketed themselves as like a new metal genre of fighting. But he comes out to this happy tune.
You know, I have to say, comes out behind her fighters, Canada. I find they actually really like come out behind her, like especially their big fighters like GSP, Rory McDonald.
For sure, man. Have you experienced a GSP fight?
Not live, but like just watching it on TV. Anytime it was at the Bell Center.
Yeah, and you got to lower your TV because it's going to blow your speakers.
Just even when he showed up like to the Habs game that one time the day before his retirement.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was going nuts.
Yeah, dude, he's beloved by everybody.
But even like other fighters too, like Mark Hominick, when he was like up there, people were behind him.
That's true.
Fighter like John McDessie.
Well,
there's a few fighters that like I find like the fans in Canada really get behind.
Yeah, well, because they're all homegrown here too.
Yep.
Like something I want to bring up too. I want to give a shout out to the owner of VMMA, Stéphane Vinou, who runs Fight Quest amateur MMA and K1
kickboxing.
He's not the sole owner. There's also Peter Thomas, and there's Francisco Philippi. I hope I didn't butcher your name, but we call him the matchmaker. I want to give him a shout out because they really like develop their fighters.
He's the Joe Silva of our time, or Fight Quest.
Yeah, he's
the guy that puts the fights together.
Yeah, and like they do such a good job at like farming their fighters, basically. They'll there's almost like a blueprint to like make it to the major leagues. There wasn't before, but now it's like Pierre. We had Pierre on here.
Yep.
He competed so much in Fight Quest until he won the belt, and then he had enough experience that a really well recognized major promotion recognized him.
TKO, man. TKO's been around for ages.
And did you hear that Charles Jourdain got signed by the UFC?
Yeah.
That's another Fight Quest guy.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like there's a blueprint now. If you work your ass off. You work your way through the amateur ranks. Let's say Fight Quest because it's the best
good,
one.
It's good MMA has this now because like it seems like, you know, every other major sport had something like this, like hockey, baseball. You know, you go to college, you play for college, or you play for one of those triple letter leagues that are just very high up there with talent that you get looked at by scouts. And then after that, luckily, either drafted or signed as a free agent.
Yeah, there's the blueprint to get there.
Now in MMA, you know, you have these really well put together amateur promotions that, you know, like not only promote, but they put the talent out there. You know, they really showcase it.
Yeah, they definitely
and
do.
They showcase it enough that the higher ups from all these organizations can see it. Like TKO, for instance, I'm sure they scout all around like Quebec, like for
they
all
do.
The fight promotions.
Why I brought up Steph was because... he made a post listing a bunch of pro fighters that have been signed either to the UFC or to TKO. And
what's good about TKO is
pretty good
it's
list.
Under the UFC.
Like, yeah, it's almost a feeder league.
Yep.
They're aired on UFC Fight Pass.
Fight Pass, yep.
And then they sign their champs. Like Charles Jourdain was a champ.
Yep.
I watched him. He fought a last-minute replacement, but originally he was supposed to fight Jesse Ronson. I can't remember the guy he beat. Jesse Ronson would have been good because he's a former UFC vet, but that was his ticket in, and he performed really well.
Yep.
Charles Jourdain is just really dynamic, man. I don't know him personally, but they invited him over to the gym one time, and I got to roll with him and just doing jiu-jitsu with him. The guy's quick and explosive and just scrambles all the time. Like, he knows how to use every bit of his body and energy. Yeah.
That's cool.
So it translated really well in his fighting, like flying knees, like nonstop pressure, you know? I don't know the guy personally, but I did have that little chance to roll.
A little opportunity to like get a taste of what the guy has.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that I've been able to gauge where I'm at and also learn a lot from them. Like my striking coach, Levy Labrie. I would like to have him on the show like one of these days, like soon. He's kind of fiending to be on air. No, that's not the right word. But
I got to hang out with Levy for a little bit after Andrew's fight. He's a really cool guy.
He's a very cool guy.
Yeah, had a really
very
good,
knowledgeable too.
Really good talk with him. The outside of Havana.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm gonna get him on the show, and I'm bringing up his name because one time I was doing it wasn't so much a private class, but a couple of us wanted to spar on the weekend, and he brought one of his pro fighters over. So he made me do a couple sparring rounds with him, and the guy wasn't going hard. I mean, he's a professional. He would F me up, let's be real.
Yeah, yeah.
But he gave me the opportunity to really showcase like a nice sparring round, move around. He'll hit me if I'm not covering properly, which teaches me lessons. Like I embrace being hit because it shows that my guard wasn't up. Like I'm kind of like a hands-on learner in that sense. But yeah. Let's get back to the fights because there were so many crazy stuff that happened. And the Bellator tournament.
So now we talked about UFC. Well, actually, we didn't get to the scariness of Rose getting dropped on her head. I legitimately thought she was like really hurt or like, not gonna lie, dead. Like I thought it was, oh man, like seeing her neck bend the way it did in slow motion. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, that's... I don't blame her for talking about retiring now.
No, I don't blame her either. But the
like you said before the fight, you know, she's won the title. She retained it once at least.
Yep.
So
she made it to the big league. She won the Ultimate Fighter tournament. She got the contract from that. She's made a name for herself. Plus, her and Pat Barry could easily change her image
around. You know, she was known as like this cute little girl. Then all of a sudden, she just shaved her head and like became this thug.
The real thug came out of her, yeah. And holy fuck, she showed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, her and Pat Barry could always just open up a gym in Colorado, and yep. You know, there's other options out. And another thing too, fighters wait way too long to retire. BJ Penn.
Oh man,
he has you know what record he holds right now? Most losses in the
UFC.
In the UFC, he has 7 in a row. I know it's over a span of a couple of years.
But still, though, like, in a row, that's...
It doesn't look good at all, man. I could understand signing...
Especially when you're, like, considered a Hall of Famer and someone who's just the prodigy.
I think he should have retired right after Rory McDonald put that beating on him a couple of years ago.
I think so.
Because he was up a weight class. He was going against, like, the hottest prospect in the division. And that's what BJ Penn always wanted to do, was prove himself. Like, because he did it to Matt Hughes. He put up one hell of a fight against GSP the first time. And it's that fighter mentality, the ego that goes along with it. I don't think he's listening to this, but BJ Penn, dude, hang it up. Retain your legacy while you can, man. Keep it intact. There are still people that look up to you, man.
Yep, there absolutely is. I totally agree with you.
I mean, he even
100%
honest. Do you remember when he did that the initiative with the KSS students?
Yep,
live like a champion.
The wrestling program. Yep,
that would have been a good time to retire too and stay as a champ, not as someone that's like I don't even have a word to describe it because I don't want to sound disrespectful.
Yeah, I don't want to use the WU word. I don't want to use the word washed up because he's not.
He's gone to a couple of decisions, so he's not that like gone, but he can't compete.
He's not Chuck Liddell gone, but he's.
I'm sure he's getting close to that level.
He's getting close to it though. Yeah, yeah, but he's not there yet. Like, that's a whole other level. Like watching that fight, I was like, "What are you doing in there, man?" Like,
well, Oscar De La Hoya is a scumbag.
Not even to that. It's like, what happened to you? Like, that did not look like Chuck Liddell at all.
Well. You got to think he had trouble letting go of it. He was forced to retire.
Yep.
Think of, this is totally off topic, but think of someone that's struggling with addiction and you try to force them in a rehab. More often than not, they're going to relapse. They're going to just go back to their old ways. Same thing. It's a cruel example, comparison. Same thing with a fighter. It's their well-being. It's who they are. It is so hard for them to let it go. Even at the age of 50, Chuck Liddell was he in his 50s? No, he was 48.
Now he's in his 50s, yeah.
I think he was 40. Okay, well, close to 50. Let's just say he was close to 50. And he just could not let it go. And you know what? I don't even blame Chuck Liddell. I blame Oscar De La Hoya and Tito Ortiz. I think they are scumbags. Tito Ortiz, he lost, but he lost in his prime. He lost to Chuck Liddell in his prime. And then he waits until Chuck Liddell is basically old and decrepit. And then... What do you even call that? That's not redemption. That's not a...
I'm pretty sure Ortiz is on the juice too.
Ortiz is on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm guaranteed he's on the juice.
I'm pretty sure he's broke too.
Probably. That's probably why he did
it. Chuck Liddell keeps joking about it, but you heard with the promotion he signed with?
No.
Combat Americas. Exactly.
What the heck is that?
he claimed to be retired, but I think because he bought his houses when he was in the UFC and his cars and everything, he can't afford everything anymore. So to live his lavish lifestyle, he needs to take these fights. I'll give him props for, like, you know, getting paid for these fights. Like, obviously he's a savvy businessman, but
I lost respect for his name. Yeah.
I lost when he beat Alexander Shlemenko in Bellator, I was very happy for him. And we, even Ryan Bader back in the UFC, because everyone had it out for him.
Oh, imagine there's that rematch right now. Bader would bury him.
Who?
If they had a rematch right now, Bader and Ortiz, I think Bader would bury him.
Oh, my God. Of course. At the time, it seemed like it was a Hail Mary, like, right hand that dropped him. And Tito Ortiz's guillotine is, like, one of a kind. Yep. Like, that's how he beat Bellator's middleweight champ, actually. And that's when he should have retired, because I felt his stock had risen. And I was like, this is the right way to go out. And then he beat Chael Sonnen. And I was like, okay, you know, he talked a lot of crap. You backed it up. And then he did the whole...
I think Sonnen did that fight, too, though, for a paycheck. I really think so, too. Yeah.
Let's get into it. A lot of people called that they threw the fight.
Yeah.
Do you think
it did? It seemed like it. It really did. Because, like, I didn't get the impression that both were really trying, like, as hard as they could have. Like, I think that fight could have been a little bit more intense.
Yeah, definitely. But consider their age, though.
Yeah.
I think
that too, but I honestly believe, like, they both just wanted to collect a paycheck.
That could be a possibility, but I did see Sonnen kind of grapple Tito Ortiz pretty hard in the beginning. Maybe his age, maybe ring rust and his age caught up, and he just gave up the bad position.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he tried to roll Tito off and mm-hmm. then he
just rolled into
basically a choke? Yeah. I hope Chael Sonnen at least puts up a good fight against Machida. That's happening in like a month. Speaking of good matches, too, Jordan Burroughs went against Ben Askren recently. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
So the fight was...
That was supposed to be that grappling match, wasn't it?
Yeah, at the MSG.
Yep.
Yeah, so Ben Askren, as great as he is, you know, accomplished, like, a lot. Jordan Burroughs is hands down the greatest American wrestler, or probably the best wrestler in the world. And Ben Askren had some balls to go up against them, but right off the bat, he took a double leg, His back kept touching the mat. He kept giving up points. And then I think by the time Burroughs had 13 points, the ref called it off. It was just too much of a big margin.
Just too much, eh?
I think they call that a technical decision. I'm not too big in wrestling. I never got to compete in wrestling. I did the practices, but I had an injury and I said, screw this. I don't want to...
Yourself even further.
Yeah, I said I'd pick it up, but like when I turned 20, and I did. I joined a gym and haven't stopped yet.